John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 13:34-35, and a new commandment I give to you, that you have love one another, just as I have loved you. You are also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwell among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes. Father God, let's pray. And may God have a blessing on the readers, the hearers, and the obeyers of his word. You may be seated. Thank you.
Good morning, Hampton Road Baptist Church, and guests joining us online. Merry Christmas to you all, and to the PALS class. What a wonderful job that you did, Miss Mary and Miss Minnie, organizing this. And for those that joined in, we enjoyed it very much. So the scriptures have been read, and I am going to start with a prayer. Father God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord and Savior, thanking you for this opportunity to be in your house and in the presence of your children, Father God. So have your way in this service today, Father God, as your presence is welcome, in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme has been love. That's the theme that our class, Miss Mary, has came up with, and Miss Minnie as well. The background of John 3:16, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. All of these words that you see in this text from 16 to the I think it's verse number 21. These are Jesus' words. Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, which was a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees was a prominent Jewish religious political group during the Second Temple period, known for their strict adherence to the Jewish law, the Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew scriptures. The Torah, the written scriptures, along with the belief in oral traditions, becoming the foundation for rabbinic Judaism after the temple's destruction. The Pharisees were often antagonistic to Jesus' teaching due to the differing in interpretations of the law, focusing heavily on outward appearances. So it's understandable why Nicodemus, a Pharisee, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus's reason, I believe, at night, he didn't want to be seen with Jesus because of his political standings. Our relationship with Christ has nothing to do with an outside appearance. Our relationship with Christ is an ultimate gift of love from God. John 3:16 focuses on God's boundless, unconditional love for humanity, the world, and the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus, the only begotten Son, the necessity of personal faith, whosoever believes, and the promise of everlasting life versus eternal damnation, and highlighting some of the themes of redemption, grace, and new spiritual birth. The first sentence in that verse says, God so loved the world. I did some research on the word so. This word, so loved, is to such a great extent. That's how much God loved us. He so loved. Have you ever said to your spouse, your children, a family member, a friend, I love you so much? Or maybe it was said to you by whose love to such a great degree. Someone has said that to you. But our love for family and our friends fell in comparison with God's love for us. His love is agape love, the highest form of love, charity, and the love of God for human beings. We can't outlove God. God is love because it's his nature. We don't have the nature to love like God. 1 John 4:16 says, so we have come to know and to believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and whoever, doesn't make any difference your skin color, doesn't make any difference how you dress or look. If you believe, whoever believes and whoever abides in him loves and abides in God, and God abides in him. Love is an action word. Loving your enemies, praying for those who persecute you because of your faith, showing patience and encouragement, and seeking the good of others even when it's difficult for us to do. That's love. The title of this message this morning is Love, the Ultimate Gift from the Father. Now, he gave the ultimate gift. I got a little package deal for my brothers and sisters in Christ. These gifts I'm sharing with you is a part of the Father's ultimate gift and benefits. I'd like to share with you three gifts that the Heavenly Father gives the world that he so loved. The first gift, he gave the world his son. He gave the world his only begotten son. This is the ultimate gift, the giving of Jesus. 1 John 4:9, the word of the Lord reads, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. The only way that you can live through Jesus is repentance. You can't just sit around and twiddle your thumbs and not confess your sins to have a relationship with Jesus. Isaiah 9:6. We just read this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, to us, to this world. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The second gift given by the Heavenly Father is the faith to believe in his son. If you do not have faith in Christ and in what God is doing, you don't have a relationship. You don't have to see it to believe it. We haven't seen Jesus yet, but there's those of us in here that believe in him because we have the faith. Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And in that text, it talks about whosoever. It doesn't make a difference who you are or what you look like or what people think about you. It's what God thinks about you in repentance. He said, whosoever. When you get home, look up the word whosoever and then come back and tell me next week what you found. That's any and everybody that repents. Whosoever. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, the word of the Lord reads, "For we believe that Jesus died." That's what we have to believe, part one. Part two, we have to believe that he got up again. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those that have fallen asleep in him." That's us. When they talk about falling asleep, they're talking about you, us being dead. But Paul is so nice, he wants to pin it, fall asleep. Okay, we'll say what Paul says. But it's death. But Jesus is going to raise us again, long as we're in a relationship with him. The third gift our Father gives us was the promise not to perish. Look at that. The promise. God in Titus, I believe it's Titus, it says God can't lie. It don't say he won't lie. It said he can't lie. It's not in his character to lie. His character is love. His nature is love. That's why he sent his son. How can, I mean, I don't have sons, I have daughters, but I ain't giving them up for nobody. Nobody. I'm not made like that, Pastor. I'm not the one that could do that job, and neither can anybody else. That's why Jesus did it. The third gift our Father gave us was the promise not to perish, but to have eternal life. And I must reiterate, you must be in a relationship with God to have this eternal life. You can't just say, okay, Jesus, you got to repent and mean it wholeheartedly. Because see, one thing God knows is our hearts. He knows our hearts. We can say anything we want to anybody we want to at any time, but God knows our hearts. You can't fool God. There was a commercial a long time ago when I was a kid. It was a guy named Captain Penny. He said, you can fool some of the people some of the time and all of the people half of the time or something to that effect, but you can't fool Mom. Now, I'm going to put it another way. You can fool some of the people and pretend like you, all of that, I'm saved and ready to go and all of that. But God knows. He knows when we're ready. And believe, I believe with my whole heart, we do not leave here until we're finished with the assignment God has given us to do. So if you're still here and you're a child of God, you got, and I got, work to do. Amen. When we go to our home celebration, when people come to say ta-ta, see you later, we're done. We're finished with what God has called us to do, not with what we want to do. And I'm preaching to myself. I read this before you guys did. I'm preaching to myself. I still have work to do, and I am so work of the Lord to do. Let me correct that. And I'm enjoying my life with what he's called me to do. I'm having fun talking about Jesus. I'm having a good time sharing the gospel. People will say, you? I'm going to go ahead on. My time is running up. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life with God, who never lies. Never lies. Promises before. These are promises he made before the ages. For our grandparents was even born. These promises was in God's heart before they were born. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promises. Some of us think, I think, and I'm not going to put you guys on this bus, but sometimes I think, oh, God, can you hurry up? I'm tired of waiting. Now, you said you promised. I'm waiting. The Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish. God does not want any of us spending eternity in hell, and we should feel the same way about our unsaved family and friends. We should tell them about Jesus. But that all should come to repentance. That is what God wants for us. The gift is salvation. This is the time of year that we all give little gifts and all that as well. But I'll be back when Pastor Jefferson is done, and I will tell you about the gift that we should have. Pastor Jefferson, you are on deck, my brother.
Going to use the three B's this morning because my brother is coming back. And those three B's is that I'm going to be biblical, I'm going to be brief, and I'm going to be seated.
Take your time.
Amen. We know that this gift, this ultimate gift that we received, we know that this gift is our Heavenly Father's gift to us, and it is love through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. This is the greatest gift that have ever been given to mankind. It is love, like my brother said. We have the Greek lexicon reminds us we have four different types of love: stargé love, phileo love, agape love, and eros love. Amen? I won't explain all those, but the agape is the one that stands out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you want to read up on that, then read it. It'll give you some more encouragement. Now, I'm here at verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, Jesus is saying this is a new commandment. But you know what? The Mosaic commands gave this commandment as well. If you go to Leviticus, 19 and 18, you'll find that commandment in there. And we're also told in the Old Testament, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our power. Now, what is the new thing that he's giving us in this commandment? Because it is new. I need to share that with you. If you don't get anything else, get this. The newness that he's referring to is he told them that he wanted them to love one another as Jesus have loved them. When was the last time somebody loved you greater than Jesus? When was the last time you walked in a church? Because the Bible teaches us that we are supposed to esteem others higher than we do ourselves. When was the last time you walked in a church and felt like you were esteemed higher than the people that was already there? Nobody raised their hand. What's up with that? You know, we got some work to do in our church. That's why we got so much chaos and confusion and division in our churches right now. The Apostle Paul, they were hindered with this type of thing back then as well as we are now. But here's the thing right now. We are supposed to be showing that love everywhere we go. We're supposed to be showing that particular love, that what I call, we're supposed to put on Christ-likeness. When I go to Walmart, I need to have on Christ-like. When I go to work, I need to have Christ-likeness. We are his representatives in this world. And that's what he was telling them. He wanted them to use this type of love so the world would know who he is. The light of the world, the king of the world. That's who they need to know. Somebody needs to know Christ Jesus, maybe right in here today. Don't leave here today if you don't know him, because you can't outlive him. So don't try to live without him. He came all the way from heaven to earth, to the cross, to the grave, and back to heaven again just to prepare a place for you and me. Amen? Christ-likeness. That's what we're supposed to have in this time, because that is our duty right now. Okay, my time is running out. It's up on me. But we need to know Romans 8. Romans 5 and 8. This is what God did for us. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on that cross for us. You know what that means? That means that we were still sinning. He didn't wait for us to finish sinning. In other words, we were still God's enemy. And he didn't wait. He died for us right then and right there. Nothing, when you come to Christ, the Bible teaches us, and we believe in, once saved, always saved. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Is that right?
Amen.
Listen, Jesus died up on that cross. But let me tell you, he said, no man take my life. He said, I lay it down for the brethren. And if I lay my life down, he said, don't you know I have the power? I can pick it right back up again. Don't you know Jesus died on that cross? They beat him with a cat of nine tails. He was bloody. He was spat upon. Our God took that for us. But don't you know those nails that was in his hand, those nails that was nailed in his feet, those nails didn't hold him on the cross. He said, I could call a legion of angels to come get me off of this cross right now. You know what held him on that cross? Love held him on that cross for you and me. And not just for right now, but for throughout eternity, that love held him on. And listen, we all have a gift, that gift of love from the Father. I just want to know, have you received your love? Have you received your gift that Christ brought you? Have you tried it on? Have you put it on? That gift of Christ's likeness. Have you tried it on? Have you been wearing it everywhere you go? God bless you, my brothers and sisters, because the gift is real. It's true. That gift of love, the world don't understand it. Why do I say that? Because the world asks the question. This is what the question the world raises. What have love got to do with it? What have love got to do with it? Everything. Because he's Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. He is the king of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the beginning and the end. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God bless you, church. Come on up here, brother. Don't let me hold you up.
I'll be closing with John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelations 21 and 3, the word of the Lord reads, the book of Revelations declares God's ultimate presence with humanity. And this is what Jesus came for. He came for humanity, which is the world. That's what this message has been around because of the holidays and Christmas. But God so loved. Let's not forget that. He so loved. And he wanted the tabernacle with us. Sometimes it makes me wonder, why does God even want to be bothered with me? With some of the things that I've done in my life, there's some things, you know, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. That's what I say. Thank you. John 6 and 37 reads, all that the Father gives will come to me, and we're back to whoever. John is repeating the same thing that was repeated earlier in this in his book. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. He will never cast us out. Once we're in that relationship with him, and don't get it twisted that because you're saved, you still don't sin. That's not true. We're going to be real. That's not true. But what you do have is the opportunity and the Holy Spirit that's resident in you to repent. Even Paul said it. He said, repent quickly. Don't go to sleep with whatever it is that you may or may not have done. Don't go to sleep with it without repentance. And I want to close with this. God, our Father in heaven, the ultimate gift giver of love, has also given each one of us a gift of the heart. He's given us that. If you are here this morning and have not opened the gift of your heart to receive the Father's gift of salvation, today is your day. Receive the gift of eternal life from our Lord and Savior this morning. If you have not taken him as your Lord and Savior. Brother Mike.